This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
We got a full day of basketball for you. A couple of ladies' games. One's at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Then we'll give you a couple men's games tonight. There's one on ESPNU, another one on ESPN tonight from Tallahassee with Duke visiting Florida State. Speaking of the Blue Devils, they're sixth in the latest Associated Press Top 25 college basketball poll. Miami and Carolina got votes, but so far, Pac, still just the Blue Devils in the top 25.
I tell you, the winner of that Miami-North Carolina game tonight can start making some hay. But, you know, you still got to have winning weeks, Wes. We keep harping on this over and over and over, at least I do, that you got to start putting combinations together, right? You got to go 2-0 weeks, 2-0 weeks. Can you start piling them up? Because, listen, there's so many teams that are looking around going, hey, are we going to be able to make it to March Madness? The only way you're going to do it in this league, if you're not named Duke, is to be able to do exactly what Miami was able to do. Win 9 in a row. Do what North Carolina's doing right now. Kind of getting their act together. Stockpiling wins back to back to back. Florida State, the same deal. You know, Wake Forest. Start going through this list now. You're starting to see a little bit of separation, I think, within the league of the teams that really have a chance to go on a run and get to the NCAA tournament and others that have a ton of work to do because they didn't take care of business in the non-conference schedule and they've gotten off to a slow start with an ACC play.
Yeah. Louisville, by the way, got two first-place votes in the women's poll, but they're still third nationally. NC State is fourth. That sets up a huge game Thursday night, also on ESPN at 7:30. With the Cards visiting Wes Moore's Wolfpack at Reynolds Coliseum. Georgia Tech, Notre Dame, Carolina, Duke, they're 18 through 21. Virginia Tech also got votes in this week's women's top 25 poll. One game yesterday and a very important one. Notre Dame visited an HBCU institution for the first time. Mike Bray and Kenny Blakeney, who he recruited out of DeMatha to go to Duke back in his days when Mike was an assistant with Coach K. They traveled to the Bird Gym yesterday and played the Bison in an MLK Day celebration game. Notre Dame won 71-68. Leshesky, a double-double. Dane Goodwin also had 17 and for the Irish. Notre Dame led by 9 but turned it over 4 times in 5 possessions. Howard scored 10 straight points, and it was left at the end for Blake Wesley and Cormac Ryan to put some points together late. But a great atmosphere, terrific environment at Bird Gym to see the Irish and the Bison play. And I noted yesterday that Mike and Notre Dame staff, and you see he was wearing Bob Whitmore, who was the first African-American basketball player at Notre Dame. And then there were other prominent African-American players who were listed on the back of Notre Dame's jerseys and shirts that they used before the game. And that was a nice touch by Mike Bray to honor the legacy of African-American basketball players at Notre Dame, as they mentioned, as they visited the HBCU campus there in Washington. Pack, I said this in hour one, I'll say it again. I hope we get more of this. I just think it's a terrific, terrific idea. And there are a lot of places that you can do it. And it's convenient. I mean, I told you Georgia Tech went to Savannah State a handful of years ago to play. That was a great experience, and I think it's one that major college basketball institutions ought to think about, visiting HBCUs to play contests like that. Tight game, but still I think a very important game, too, in our landscape right now.
Well, the game was certainly symbolic, but the bottom line is if you're Notre Dame, you could not lose that game, right? We talked about teams stockpiling wins. The Irish, of course, coming off a loss on the road at Virginia Tech. They'd won 6 consecutive. That would have been a kicker. I mean, you know what, as far as your NCAA resume goes. So the bottom line is symbolic without question. Touch of class, like everything about it. But the object is to win the game. And that's basically what Notre Dame did. They won the game. Now they move on to get a week to get ready to load up against Louisville. So back into ACC play they go. But the Irish, a team to keep an eye on here in the next 6 weeks of the regular season.
All right. How about defensively? We're getting kind of to this point in the season where we've got to examine some old adages. Does defense truly win championships, and where the ACC stands, either men or women? Are we looking at a defensive unit that's capable of potentially getting to the Final Four? Josh Pastner already thinks Carolina's capable of joining Duke in the Final Four. He talked about Notre Dame in the conference cuts we had earlier. By the way, we have some more of those coming up in this hour. But defensively, Pack, According to the ESPN metrics, Duke has the best adjusted defensive efficiency ranking in the ACC. They're 22nd. Virginia Tech is right behind them. Can Miami, can Carolina, can these offensive-driven teams maybe improve at the defensive end of the floor to better enhance their chances of getting to not only the NCAA tournament, but making a run in it too?
Well, I am the old school here. I don't care who you are. Eventually, you have to stop somebody to win. Now, people go, oh, you're just going to outscore them. That's all fine and good. That's great. Offense sells tickets. I get it. But you know what? Even if you're an offensive team, Wes, there reaches a point. I don't care if it's football, basketball, baseball, tennis. You pick it. Eventually, you have to stop somebody to win a championship, even if you are offensive-minded. I don't care who you are. I buy into, can you play defense? And if you're a great defensive team, you got a shot. You got a shot. Now, I know you got to eventually score two. It's a perfect combination. But at the end of the day, Wes, you've got to be able to slap the floor from a basketball perspective and just say, guess what? You're not going to score. Game, set, match. So I'm buying it 100%.
Well, here are the points per game allowed by ACC schools and their NCAA ranking. You see Virginia first at under 60. So is Virginia Tech. That's 11th and 16th nationally. Pack, I guess my concern is it goes from 16 then to 81. And then there's Duke at 85, allowing 65 points a game. Boston College not far behind. You see just even a tenth of a point can push the number up pretty quickly. And then at the back end, there's Carolina, there's Miami, there's NC State, and oh my goodness, there is Syracuse, Pack. 318th in points allowed per ball game.
Well, that's why I'm watching tonight when North Carolina and Miami get together, because not only are they built differently, they both like to score. But you know what? Who's going to win the game? The guy that plays the best defense is going to win that game tonight. Again, we may have an 88-84 final, but it will probably be the guy that makes a couple stops late that wins the game. I'm buying defense all the time.
All right. All right, so here's where we're going to take this, and we'll push it all the way out. Here are the last 10 national champions according to their scoring defense rank. Now, even when Carolina won, they were at 127. You see, Villanova was 15th the year they won in Houston. Duke, 110 the year prior to that. You see Louisville at 21, Kentucky 25, UConn 31. Pack, I think it helps to be in the top 50.
Well, it helps to keep somebody in the 60s. I mean, there's only two teams on that list in the last 10 years that gave up 70 or more points and won the national championship. So that means, you know what? You keep somebody in the 60s, you got a shot, unless you have just ridiculous talent on the offensive side. You can outscore people. But eventually, like I said, you got to be able to stop the opposition when it matters. You have to.
Yeah. Well, we turn to the ladies' side here, and in the ACC, the nation's best scoring defense team is Nell Fortner and Georgia Tech, allowing 44.6 points per ball game. Now, remember, the Lorella Kubai sensational in the post, so is Hermosa for the Jackets. They are first in Division One. Now, since 2001-2002, only one team has had a better scoring defense than the Jackets at 44.6, and that was Texas A&M in 2012 and 13, who gave up just 42 points a game. This is the second-best scoring defense in the last 20 years of women's basketball as it currently stands, Pac.
Well, Georgia Tech on Sunday gave up only mid-40s. The problem is they only scored 4 points in the fourth quarter. So just saying, you play, like, it's kind of like Virginia basketball. Hey, you can play great defense, right? You can hold Wake to 63 or whatever it was the other day, but you do have to put the ball in the basket. I mean, you can't just be one-dimensional and say, oh, we only play defense, that's the way it goes. No, you got to be able to score too. But when the elite teams can do both, Wes. That's how it works. So, again, you can give me the metrics from 20 years ago and all this stuff, and you're not going to be tested at the end of the show. This is not a pop quiz. But I just know this, that if you think you're going to win a championship, defense has got to be part of the repertoire. You better have that in your deal. You better have that in your arsenal.
Four of the Jackets' next five opponents average better than 74 points a ball game, by the way. All right, before we get to the break and more conference cuts on the basketball side, how about a check of the infamous ACC index card, the world that Packer lives in, where he charts foul margins and free throw attempt margins. Take it over, my man.
I would tell you, I think the officials are doing a nice job just based on the fact that numbers aren't totally crazy. Foul margin, you want to be a negative. Duke's at the top, and you see Pitton, Miami, and Wake right there. Again, these are all good clubs. North Carolina -9. The tail end, if you're a Georgia Tech fan, you're sick and tired of the whistle blowing because you've been called for 32 more fouls. NC State fans, hey, you're used to it, plus 26. You know the deal there. The Tigers, plus 14. So, you know, that's where it works on the foul margin. And then the free throw margin, it's the exact opposite. To be at the top, you want to shoot more free throws. Again, we're not here for the conspiracy theories. That's up to you. But we'll go to foul margin. Then we're going to go to free throw margin on the next graphic eventually. There we go. We got Duke at a plus 48, Wes. 48 more trips to the line. There's a little separation from number one versus Pitt and Miami, who are tied for second. Louisville close as well. And then, of course, the flip side, Georgia Tech fans are going, hey, wait a minute. Did we not win this league last year? Yes, you did. You are the defenders, and right now you are dead last in foul margin and free throw margin. That's the real world.
All right, there's a look. Infamous ACC index card. Well done, Pack. The tabulations are tremendous. Again, when we come back.
Again, Wes, let me emphasize, we don't create conspiracy theories. You do. Those are just the numbers. Those are just the numbers. Don't point the finger at us. We got nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you what the numbers are.
Well said. Well said. On the other side, another edition of Conference Cuts. Hubert Davis going to check in with us. Leonard Hamilton in front of a full house at the Tucker Center. Jim Boeheim with some candid thoughts. And Mike Krzyzewski. All that and more coming up next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Hey, don't forget, every Thursday night, we bring you a doubleheader of women's basketball, and then we back it up with Nothing But Net. They break down the night with highlights, analysis of each ladies' game. Look ahead to the best games coming up the following Sunday. And it's insight you only get one place, right here on ACC Network and the ESPN app. One app, one tap.
Like it. All right, it's time for round two of coaches. And the conference cuts are always a blast. Love to, again, you get a chance to get caught up with everybody around the league, what's hot, what's not, from a coach's perspective. That's
right.
The object of this entire segment. And Darion Sebron, by the way, coming up here in about 11 minutes for all you NC State fans. Give you a heads up.
Yeah. We start with Coach K, who is, I don't know if was the first, but certainly one of the first I heard of, talk about positionless basketball. And he was asked yesterday, how has your view changed about what a point guard is?
We have had point guard with Tommy Amaker, you know, with Bobby Hurley. But you had a point center in Leitner, Wojo. The 2001 team, you really didn't have a point. Jason Williams was a great guard, a great player. Battier was kind of a point forward during that time. Grant Hill, you know, we've kind of, you know, done it a lot of different ways. And in 10, it was Nolan and John, and they really cared for the ball. We hardly turned it over. And in 15, we had that combination of Quinn Cook and Tyus. And this group, you know, you just want to get away from the term point guard. For really over three decades, I think I've always said, I don't understand why we introduce people as an at guard, you know, like, or it's not baseball where you're at third base. Yeah. it's not football where you are the tight end. You know, you're all over the court. And so just introduce five guys and figure out how they play together. And that's what we've tried to do.
Just listening to Coach K rattle those names, dude's had some players, hasn't he? I mean, goodness gracious. One of the all-time incredible coaching careers, regardless of sport. Forget hoops. You know, he likes to talk about positionless. But yeah. Forget about he was a great basketball coach. No, he is one of the all-time great coaches, period. End of story.
Yep.
And more importantly, I don't know if he mentioned it, but K will be back Thursday for Coach K Basketball Beyond on SiriusXM Channel 84 beginning at 6 p.m. Just want to pass that on for everybody out there listening as well.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, yeah. Which in Packernese means I get an extra hour. I get an hour off of the show
on Thursday. Got to save the voice. Got to save the voice. You're doing two full-time shows. You know, you can't just go full throttle.
Sure.
You know, getting an hour off, the compliments of Coach K, comes in handy. So K's back on Thursday. I'm excited about it.
I understand. Let's move on to Leonard Hamilton, who was asked, what separates this Duke team from others that he's faced?
I have a tremendous amount of respect for Coach K, like most of us do, and we played against him with some of the best teams that I've ever played against. But this team, in my opinion, is one of the most connected teams that I've seen Duke have. Their spacing, their execution, the chemistry that they play with, the effort that they're playing with. Even though they might have had some teams with maybe more talent, I've never seen them any better in terms of the execution, their effort, how connected they are, and seem to be how committed they are on the offense and defensive end. I think they're number one team in America. I think that the way they play, now they might not go undefeated, but you can expect those guys to be around at the end only because of they seem to enjoy playing together. Their defensive effort is good. They got a rim protector there, and they always have played great defense, but this seems to have something special about them.
Big time game tonight. By the way, I would appreciate if Leonard, during those ACC conference cuts, would showcase his Packer and Durham mug, Wes. I mean, you know, I went to great expense to make sure he gets that thing after he got on my case about it. And every time I see this
Chuck
conference cut, I've yet to see the Packer and Durham mug. And I wrote him a little handwritten note and said, this is a only to be sipped on after victories. So, you know, he's coming off a nice win.
Yeah.
Just saying, you know, Coach, you know, it's a two-way street here a little bit. So just help us out a little, will you? Please.
Oh, is that it? Yeah. Every little bit of promotion helps. Chuck Walsh, we know you're watching from time to time. See if you can get the mug in Ham's hands
by the way,
next conference call.
Speaking of Chuck Walsh, I got a text from him last hour when we were doing our midseason and awards, and you said you would like for SIDs to put that in their show notes. Chuck Walsh made it very clear that will not appear in tonight's Florida State notes for Duke game. He just made that perfectly clear.
Well, that's because there were no Florida State players on the Packer and Durham midseason All-ACC. Hubert Davis next from Chapel Hill. He did have a player on the midseason All-ACC from Packer and Durham, but he was asked yesterday, what's been the biggest difference on defense for his team?
At the beginning of the year, I just don't think we had a clear understanding of how important it is for us to be the best defensive team that we can be. And that, you know, I think we have always have felt comfortable and confident at our ability to score. And I think sometimes that being comfortable and confident in our ability to score has taken us away from what I think is the determining factor of what kind of team we're going to become. And that's how good we can become on the defensive end. And so I think, since the Michigan game, I think we have a clear understanding. I think it's getting better every day of how important it is for us to be locked in defensively. And if we can do that with our ability to score, I think it just really puts us in a really good position to be successful.
Hmm.
Gotta good stop call. Somebody. Gotta good call. Play some D.
Yep.
Just saying.
That'll come in handy tonight, won't it? Let's go to Coach Larrañaga. David Teal, our friend, asked him what kind of challenges he's facing with tonight's opponent, North Carolina, being the best three-point shooting team the Tar Heels have put on the floor in over a decade.
Every team has strengths and weaknesses. Carolina just happens to have a lot more strengths. You know, they're not only an outstanding team in the paint with those three big guys just alternating, posting you up and scoring with their back to the basket, but now their perimeter game is outstanding. RJ Davis and Caleb Love are basically scoring machines, and they can shoot it from deep. They can shoot it off the bounce. They score in transition. They make threes. And then when Manic steps out and stretches your defense at the four, you know, they become an outstanding offensive juggernaut. And, you know, they're playing great right now. They're not winning. They're winning big. And the three-point shooting is an added dimension to an already tremendous inside game.
Things are warming up in Miami, Wes. I can tell because Jim Larrañaga not wearing the parka today. Canes are playing great basketball. So are the Heels. That is a big time game tonight, 7 p.m. right here on ACC Network. It's going to be a good one.
Indeed it is. Sit tight when we come back. Big time is the byline because one of the ACC's premier players joins us next. Darion Sebron of the Wolfpack stops by right after this on ACCN.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. It's a Tuesday. And people in Bristol have lost their minds. That's all right. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. Wes, we have a gentleman who has had a phenomenal year so far that is making his debut on Packer and Durham. And that normally means the Packer and Durham bump for the next game. That's normally what comes into play here.
Darion Sebron of Norfolk, Virginia, joins us live this morning from Raleigh. First of all, great to have you with us. Congratulations on the success you and your team have had here recently. I know Saturday was a tough one, but take us through this year because you guys have already kind of overcome some adversity and gone on to brighter days, it feels like.
We already knew, like, with Mandy going out, a lot of people didn't have us, like, winning games this year in the conference. And another thing was, with us being a real young team, it's been kind of hard for us to, like, learn how to close out games, but we're still working and getting better every day and just improving on the areas that, like, we need to improve on in.
Darion, let me be the first to let you know, because I doubt you know this, but within the past hour on this program, my partner, Wes Durham, we gave out mid-season awards in the ACC, and my partner, Wes Durham, said that you, Darion Sebron, are the ACC mid-season player of the year. What do you have to say about that?
Thank you. I appreciate that. And, yeah, that's something that I didn't know. But, yeah, once again, thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. Darion, here's the deal. I'm going to take you back to the ACC Big Ten game against Nebraska. Because weird game, right? Four overtimes, game was kind of crazy, even at the end of regulation, all that. But yet it was in that four overtime game that people got to see your whole game kind of on display. Did it feel like things changed for you after that game, or was it already in the process of changing for you?
I feel like it was already in the process changing for me. I just felt like each game, like game by game, it was just – me, like, moving forward and just getting better and showing people what I was able to do.
Mm. You know, I mentioned multiple times, Dariano, and you and I have never met, never spoken, and I've really enjoyed watching you. But you're like the plastic man, man. Every time I see you on the wing and you decide, hey, I'm going to go attack, you weave through people. It doesn't matter if it's a guard. It doesn't matter if it's a size inside, whether center, forward, whatever. You are amazing how you attack the basket. And with that said, who gives you a headache in terms of defensively? I mean, is it the pesky guard? Is it the guy that can put size on you? Is it a big body? Is it a athletic forward? I mean, you tell me, because you just seem to get to the basket with ease regardless of where you are on the floor. It's amazing to watch.
Thank you. And I want to say probably like a big, like trying to, you know, like defend me at the rim. Like it's kind of, like the shots would be more difficult if I'm trying to finish over a big, whether it's a small guard guarding me. Like trying to heat me up or get it under me.
But you don't seem to have an, like when you decide, hey, green light, I'm going. And like whoever's on you on the wing, forget, they got no shot. You're by them in 2 seconds because of your size and length. But man, when you get to the big at the basket, I just love the fact that you attack. It's like, I'm not backing off anybody. Let's go. And it's amazing how often you finish the drill. You finish it, man. You're great to watch. I'm just giving you a heads up on that.
Thank you.
Dariano, here's the other thing. I'm curious about how the offense has evolved for you, but yet you get all these rebounds too. I mean, you do things at the offensive end, not just from a scoring perspective. I mean, you're doing a really good job with assists. And then defensively, you're getting all sorts of different combinations the way you guys guard. And you're averaging a double-double. So you find yourself literally playing 94 feet of basketball on every sequence here. What's the most important part for you in a game? I mean, do you feel like the scoring's just going to happen? Is it the rebounding? Is it the assist? Is it defensively at some piece and process of that?
Yeah, I feel like most importantly will be probably defense, like when I'm fatigued or like late in the game. And not even just on the ball defense, just being in the right spot and help. Like you said, like, I feel like the scoring and facilitating rebound, like that's going to come like throughout the game. I just try to like focus in on the defensive assignments, especially like late in the game or like when I'm fatigued.
And here's the other part about your story that I'm intrigued by a little bit. You redshirted as a freshman. And I remember Coach Keats telling me when I was up there to do a game, you know, Sebron's really going to help us. But it was probably good for him and good for us that we redshirted him. Now, looking back on it, where did you benefit from the redshirt? Because clearly, I mean, you got all the tools you need, but did the redshirt help you now in hindsight?
Yeah, I think it most definitely helped me as far as me just being able to practice with the guys, you know, going against Devin Daniels and Markel Johnson and guys like that every day in practice. And then I want to say I got a good chance to take advantage of, like, the weight room my redshirt year because, like, I was on a different plan than those guys because they was, like, in season, but I wasn't playing. So, like, my stuff could be more, like, a little more intense than the others could.
Hey, Dariano, come clean with me on this now. You know, the ladies are in the top four in the country. All right, they got this big game in Louisville coming up on Thursday. You guys a little jealous that the ladies are getting all this attention? You guys are sitting there trying to figure this thing out. And I want you to look me in the eye and tell me the truth on that. I mean, it's like, hey, man, I'm having a great year. West Durham said I'm the player of the year in the league, for crying out loud. But a little jealous about how good the ladies have been so far this year? Just ask.
Nah. I'll never be jealous, especially, like, because they're a part of our school, so I'm always supporting them, and I'm happy for them. And they're a very good team, so. Yeah, everything is paying off of them.
Yeah,
right now.
No question about that.
We had Kunane on earlier today. Now, she's a player too, man. There's all kinds of talent walking around that campus.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a very good player. I like watching her play.
Yeah, she's good, man.
All right. So, a couple things here we got to cover with you that are non-basketball related. First of all, there's this, this post-game deal when you guys went on the road where there's ice cream involved. And Keats has taken us through a couple things where, you know, the ice cream is expected, but it's not always a given. I mean, they got to find the place to get the ice cream.
Yeah, they got to find it first.
Now, we talked to Jerry. Yeah. We talked to Jericho Helms one time, and there was this revelation that maybe his favorite dessert wasn't ice cream, right, Pac? I mean, he liked it, but it wasn't his, you know, maybe his number one. So are you an ice cream guy, Darion?
I want to say more so probably a smoothie guy. But when we do get ice cream, okay, on the road, my favorite would be like vanilla. But it also depends on the place. Like, I like Insomnia cookies. I like their vanilla ice cream.
Ooh, ooh,
oh, yeah.
Ooh, Insomnia,
yeah,
cookies.
Yeah, there's a lot to like at Insomnia. I mean, everything. Yeah. You break the door at Insomnia and it's pretty good. Yeah. Okay.
Darion, let me ask you a question. If when I was in school 100 years ago, if we had Insomnia cookies invented back then, I'd weigh 425 pounds, oh, man. Because those suckers would be delivered at 2 a.m. every stinking day. I mean, I know you're running up and down the floor like a wild man, but how in the world can you have Insomnia cookies there in Raleigh and that be one of your go-tos and you staying as thin as you are, man? What kind of workouts are we working on here, huh? Because, I mean, you are rail thin, man. There's no way you could be ordering those Insomnia cookies all the time and be that skinny.
Just a lot of running. You know, like, we press full court the whole game. So, like, we always running in transition offensively and defensively, so I'm always being in shape no matter what I eat.
So, you know, but I want to go back to this ice cream thing a second. Vanilla? I mean, seriously, I mean, you got a better personality than that. Nobody walks into a store and orders vanilla. Come on.
No, I don't really like a lot of extra stuff, like, especially when I'm eating. So I'd rather just be plain Jane, man, regular.
No sprinkles, no fudge, no whipped cream, cherries.
Nah, none of that.
Dude, let me tell you something. I don't know you, all right? But I'll tell you right now, I love watching you play, but I'm not going out to dinner with you afterwards because I ain't walking around with nobody ordering just vanilla with nothing on the side. Come on, man. You got to come better than that. Vanilla, please. You can't be the midseason player of the year ordering vanilla ice cream. No way.
Yeah, he can.
You got to get a little chocolate, a little strawberry, a little some nuts.
No.
Come on,
man. He's
vanilla.
I mean, I like chocolate chip cookies, though.
There you go.
So the chocolate and the cookies.
There you go.
Now, like, Sammy, I get
we're
the,
talking.
The two cookies with the ice cream, with the vanilla ice cream in the middle.
There you go. That's better.
The cookie witch. I think it's called the cookie witch.
That's exactly what it's called.
Yeah. All right. Darion, here's my last question before Pac asks you the question we always ask first-time guests. If you're patterning your game after somebody, who is it? I mean, because he said the Plastic Man, that's Stacey Augmon from back in the day. You're too young to remember Stacey Augmon.
Westbrook.
I think there's a lot of Kevin Durant in your game.
Westbrook.
I mean, you're 6'7". You play a lot taller than that. Who is your game patterned after? Who do you think, you know, who inspires you the way you play?
Growing up, I know most years I like used to always compare myself to, not compare myself, but I really like Kevin Durant's game. You know, like, we got the same body type, but I'm obviously not as tall as him or like scored as good as him. Right now in the league, I like watching Ja Morant play. I think we have similarities in our games, but I'm just a taller guard. But like the way we get to the lane, finish over big and stuff, athleticism and things like that. Yeah, I'll say Ja Morant.
Hey, you know what? You're not going to believe this.
That's good.
You know what Ja Morant's favorite ice cream is, Darion?
No, I don't.
Stop. It is not.
Vanilla.
No, it's not. Stop. Just quit doing that, Darion. Say no. See, he doesn't know. Darion, he doesn't know. He's just come on, Pac.
All right, here is our traditional question. No, well, I'll tell you. Hey, how about the block he had the other night where he just went up and snatched it with his elbows about 6 inches off?
That was crazy.
Was that crazy? Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah.
I couldn't even do that.
How about
the
360 layup he had last night, Pac?
Oh,
he had a 360 layup last night.
Dude, he's sick. He's unbelievable. All right, here's the deal.
Yeah, he's fun to watch.
Darion, here's our traditional question. Since you've been at NC State University, what has been your hardest class?
Hardest class. I want to say this course I took this past semester in the fall. It was a science class. I think it was MEA 100.
Wow, what is that about?
Yeah, that's the...
What was that all about?
That was the hardest class.
What was that about?
it was kind of like a mixture of all the sciences. And like we had so many assignments due like every week. Like every week we had labs, quizzes. We had to do forum posts with responses to your classmates. And it was just a lot of work. Like each week it was like 13 or 14 assignments.
You knocked it out by Sunday. You knocked it out though, didn't you? Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, it kept me up some nights, though, but yeah, I knocked it out. I knocked it out for sure.
When you got insomnia cookies, hey, no big deal, man. 3 a.m., you're studying with insomnia cookies and a big old scoop of vanilla ice cream. Life is good, man. I know how that goes. Yeah. Well, listen, keep up the great work, man. You're fun to watch. You are a blast to watch.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, Darion Seabron of NC State, appreciate the time. Good luck later this week. Look forward to following the Wolfpack as their season continues. When we come back, we wrap up by looking ahead to a great schedule on both the men's and women's side. Yes, sir. We got to go to break.
I don't care. You're a vanilla scoop guy, aren't you? You're a guy who goes for vanilla.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I like vanilla. We're back. Packer and Durham wrapping up Tuesday right after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Hey, don't forget Friday night, another edition of the award-winning Bald Men on Campus follows the Friday night duels around 9 o'clock right here on ACC Network. LaFonso Ellis, Seth Greenberg, Jay Billis get you up to speed on the weekend ahead in the ACC and the latest news from around the conference only on ACC Network and the ESPN app. We go to the schedule here for the night in the ACC. I know these are your boys, by the way. Home team in the ACC with three games to play tonight. The home team in conference play has won 24 of the 45 games. And 23 of the 45 ACC games that have been played have been 5 points or less, which is right at 51%. So we are, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood, almost to the halfway point of what the ACC schedule is from a calendar or from a mass standpoint in standings. And we are already teetering in record kind of areas. Close games being won, home court winning percentage not nearly as high as it's been. This is a drop of about 3 or 4% from last year. And that's when we had nobody in the seats. So, you know, we will go historical on that as we move through the month of February if this kind of trend keeps up, Pac.
All right, that's great. Here's my concern. You know what? I have given up sweets in 22 so far. I've not had a single drop of anything chocolate or ice cream, or which I normally swallow whole. And Darion Seabron's answer that he would order vanilla has me concerned because – you know, I love to go to Jenny's Ice Cream, and they're not paying me. It's just, I think they got the greatest ice cream I've ever had. I don't think you could walk into Jenny's Ice Cream and order vanilla. I don't even think that's a possibility. I don't even think that's an option. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
Okay.
But that's concerning. Those numbers you just rattled off about tight games, that's all great. Terrific. We got three tonight with the men, three with the ladies. With all that said, Wes, I'll get back to your world a second. Of the men's games, all three home teams win tonight or not? Yes or no?
No.
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 So we have Florida State at home, normally untouchable. Miami's won 9 of 10. They've been great there at home. Syracuse has Clemson in the dome. They traditionally beat the Tigers. But you don't think all three home teams close the deal tonight? You do not?
No. In fact, I only think maybe one home team wins tonight.
Ooh, would you like to go on a limb for, if you're right, I'll buy you a scoop of vanilla ice cream, you and Seabron. Who's the home team that wins tonight? Show ends
at 10. Show ends at 10, thanks. I'm going to say that Florida State is the home team that wins tonight.
Ooh, West Durham. Scoop of ice cream. I'll have it waiting on you tomorrow.
Look, here, you know what? Here's the interesting part for me. For me, the real question in the Florida State game is, Is there a defensive combination for Leonard Hamilton tonight that puts some pressure on Duke's interior game? Because the big guys for Florida State, I think they're going to be important later in the year, but right now all those seven-footers and all those guys are – it's kind of a framework deal. They're not quite there yet, but does he have a plan they can come up with a way? And to be honest with you, Malik Osborne has to play tonight. I'm saying Florida State wins tonight because I think Malik Osborne's going to play. Malik Osborne doesn't play. I don't know that can happen.
So it won't surprise you if all three roadies win tonight. North Carolina at Miami, Duke
no,
at Florida
will
State,
not.
Clemson at Syracuse.
Mm-mm.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.